Welcome to episode 2 of the Endpoint Zone with Brad Anderson. Brad, welcome
great to
back
be here
to
again.
The Channel 9 studio. Brad, as you know, is the CVP of Enterprise Mobility at Microsoft, and we're going to be taking a look back at the previous month of Enterprise Mobility. So before we do, I'd just like to say a couple of very quick thank yous to folks who have been watching the show over the course of the past month. Some really interesting people have been actually watching us.
Actually, one of the
us.
Most viewed videos in TechNet for the entire month of September.
Yep, we did really, really well. It's been very, very cool. So please keep those comments coming in. We've had tons of comments on the blog as well, just to keep us going and just tell us what you want to know about. That's a really important thing. However, when we start to look back at the previous month, probably the first thing that comes up, a very, very striking thing. We announced Windows 10.
You know, last month we were talking about the fact that iOS 8 had just been announced and released, and certainly over the last 30 days, the most significant announcement in terms of the industry is concerned is Windows 10. And it was funny, I was actually at the Gartner event yesterday. We were talking about, you know, Satya was being interviewed, and he said, the question was, what happened to Windows 9? And it was great. He said, well, it came and it went. You know, Windows 10 is actually a huge, progression, if you will, of Windows. I mean, it's there's so many things that's just fundamentally different from anything else we've ever done on Windows. And I know part of the thought that went into the team as they were naming it is it just was such a significant advance forward that they thought Windows 10 was the right naming for it. You know, but there's a couple of things I thought were unique about how we started to talk about Windows 10, different than we've ever done with a version of Windows in the past. And the first thing is we started talking to the enterprise and the enterprise uses before the consumer. You know, you go look at like Windows 7, Windows 8, we had a consumer preview, and then there was a, you know, an enterprise preview that came later. We started this time with Windows 10 talking to the enterprise and talking to the enterprise scenarios. Okay? And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. One, the enterprise is in planning. They need more time to plan for what's coming, so they want to understand what some of the capabilities are. And fundamentally, there were a number of things that we had to do from Windows 8. You know, we had to address a couple of issues, you know, in Windows 10 to address some of the core blockers that enterprises have shared with us. And I think we've done a great, great job with Windows 10.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I've been onto the internal host for quite a while, and hey, I really love it. It's really nice.
Yeah, but what's been, you know, rewarding for me personally and through all of this is, you know, throughout, you know, the last 12 months as we've been planning in conjunction, you know, across the company. And that is one thing that has been, I think, very different in this whole wave of efforts from the company. It really has been one unified planning experience. So the time that we, you know, the System Center team and the Intune team has spent with the Office organization and the Windows team has been like no level of planning and no level of integration we've ever done before. And I think that's one of the things that everyone will see is that level of integration where the things just automatically come together and fit together across Microsoft in a one Microsoft kind of manner. People will notice that.
And that one Microsoft thing is really important. There's nobody else in any of these industries that actually does this. There's nobody that has an operating system and a management stack.
And the productivity applications.
Yeah.
You know, so Microsoft is very in a very unique position because we do have assets and we have investments across the entire stack that's used in the enterprise.
So what are the key things that are really important for the enterprises and make Windows 10 an amazing enterprise endpoint?
You know, as I look at the effort, I look at the work that team has done, I think the first thing that is just amazing to me is they've brought all of the different flavors of Windows that the company had together into one. So there's one Windows.
Yeah.
So, you know, phone, tablet, PC, Xbox, you know, everything is coming together and literally converging in one Windows operating system that can scale from the smallest size screen, or no screen at all in terms of an embedded device, to the largest screen with these, you know, these Surface devices that we have that are 80 plus inches that sit on the wall. And so that experience, you know, where it's one architecture, it's one application platform. I can develop an application once, and the application automatically resizes and adjusts to the screen size that I'm on, whether I'm on a 3-inch screen, a 6, 9, or an 80-inch screen. So it's one architecture. And I think the thing that's super interesting about this for ISVs and for organizations who do their own development, they can build one app. They can build one rich app, and that one app can be used across all the different Windows devices.
And it's really interesting the way that we're leading that market, because when you look around, it's not now not just us that's talking about universal applications. That's the we've started a little nugget there, which is to start moving the entire industry forward. Universal applications available everywhere.
And I think that this is a place where Microsoft is showing leadership. You know, we've been talked about for many, many decades about being a fast follower, but this is a place where I think we are truly showing leadership in having one application, one universal application across all platforms, across all sizes. A couple of other things that we've done here, just kind of show you a couple of screenshots here. One of the things that I think many individuals struggled with as they tried to use Windows 8 was it felt like there were kind of like two start screens. Mm-hmm. You had the start screen with all the modern applications, and then you had the desktop, and they really did feel like two different things. I remember training my children to use Windows 8. I had to help them understand what the difference was. What we've done here, and you can see this in the screenshot here, is we've brought them together. So you have your traditional start menu, and you can have, you know, not only your traditional Win32 applications on that, but you can have modern applications. And when you go to the start screen, also all your modern apps come up. It is all in one place. Mm-hmm. You can resize it. You can have the entire screen if you want to. The search mechanism here is wonderful, but we brought everything together, and it feels much more like it's just one operating system.
Unit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And people can start where they're comfortable at. If they're comfortable with the modern screen, they can start with that. If they're comfortable with the desktop, it all is just brought together in one place.
Yeah. I've been using it for a while, and it's kind of taken over as my kind of daily desktop, and yeah, it's just easy.
Yeah, and talking about a couple other things that we did here, you know, things like we've now had every single application runs in a window. Mm-hmm. So if you think about the modern applications today on Windows 8, you know, it runs, it's not a window on the desktop, if you will. This right here, looking at the weather application, you can see it literally is running in a window. That allows us to do things like then go and combine these and literally like put them into, let me go back there. I can now have multiple applications like I've always been able to do, but I can snap applications that are modern applications and traditional Windows applications because they all look, feel, and behave the same.
Yeah, and the quadrant snap view is very cool as well. So as you can see here, you've got a small quadrant of an application, Excel over there. You've got a large PowerPoint application here, and it's automatically telling you the other apps that you've got ready to run.
Yep.
And allowing you to just go and say,
you can see all these right here are modern applications. I'm bringing those modern applications. They just fit with all my other applications that I'm accustomed to be using on my desktop.
Yeah, it really brings it back together.
Yeah, so I think from a usability standpoint, it's significant. Another one of the big innovations that I think we're delivering in Windows 10 is something that I've always had a worldview would happen, which is the operating systems themselves will start to ship containers.
Yeah.
You know, so for example, you know that inside of Intune later this year, we're going to be shipping containers for iOS and for Android. Mm-hmm. What we announced as a part of the Windows 10 announcements last week was that Windows is also going to have a container in it to help separate personal from corporate data and applications. And so let's give you a view about some of that looks like. And obviously, you know, this will be a native component of the operating system. But in terms of Intune and Config Manager, we'll do all the integration so that it's super well managed natively from those devices. And so I'll just kind of give you a walkthrough of what it looks like. You know, this is just some early mock-ups. So here you're looking at a Word document. And in the Word document, there's some content, and this actually happens to be the annual report. And you know, before this is published, there's certainly confidential information in this that we wouldn't want to have published anywhere else. Yeah. So the first thing that we've done with this, you know, this security solution, this container in Windows, is by default now, when you go to save, you can actually have every file encrypted. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've talked about BitLocker in the past, but every single file can be encrypted, and that encryption, you know, travels with the documents at rest, in transit, but it's a native part of the operating system. But then, you know, some of the things that you would expect from a container we're also delivering. So in this case, a confidential information that, you know, right now before it's published is very confidential. If I go and I attempt to copy and paste or drag some data over there, I get this request or I get this information here that says, listen, the content you're trying to create is corporate document. You're not allowed to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, today, for example, as I look at the containers that like, for example, that we're creating, it does block it, but one of the things I love about what Windows has done is they actually give the user more data about why that's the case.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I have the ability now to be able to separate corporate from my personal content and then manage that from an IT perspective. Now, I also got the ability to allow the copy and paste to come, but let the user know that it's going to be audited. Mm-hmm. So in this case right here, again, I'm going to copy and paste some information into a consumer application. And it says here, hey, you know what? The content you're trying to paste here is encrypted, it's confidential. It can be allowed, but it's going to be monitored. And this allows organizations to track, you know, what corporate data is being used where. You know, it's something I think organizations will want to do. If you take a look at this from a smaller device, again, looking at a phone, I go and I'm able to copy that information. If I go and then copy that information and go and paste that into another application, I'm going to Word here. On the phone, I get a similar kind of a note here that says, listen, you're trying to copy this information into a personal application, which is discouraged, but we're going to allow you to do it. We're just going to log it and track it from an IT perspective. You know, so one of the big new features coming in Windows 10 is this container where I'm able to put policy on corporate applications and corporate data and keep it separate from personal content.
I think it's going to be super useful for most organizations, actually, particularly that ability to say, you can still do this, but we're going to track it. I think that's going to be really, really popular.
And in this BYO model, you know, users want to be able to have IT put policy where policy is applicable and mm-hmm. should be, but users want IT to stay out of their personal. And this is just one of the ways that, that Windows will allow that natively. And again, in terms of like talking about leadership, Windows is the first operating system that will ship a native container native in the operating system. That doesn't exist in iOS and Android, though I believe it'll come.
Yeah, yeah. It is leadership, and you're absolutely right. This is one of those things, those age-old things, as long as you tell your users what you're actually going to do, they tend to be okay about it.
Yeah.
That's really where we're going to. So yep. Super cool things on Windows 10 there.
Yeah, a few more things I want to talk about real quickly. Mm. One is management. And so one of the things that, you know, my team did, the System Center team did, is we built this OmaDM agent that shipped as a part of Windows 8 and a part of Windows 8 Phone. Mm-hmm. That now is, you know, not only a native part of the operating system, but it also now is open and extensible, so anybody can integrate with that. But the beauty of that is it's one agent. It's integrated into all flavors of the operating system that can be now managed from Config Manager and Intune. And so, you know, the beauty of that is, you know, the operating system itself comes natively manageable from the get-go. And then the final thing that I would want to talk about is we actually have converged all the app stores as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's been a frustration, I think, for developers as well mm-hmm. as for users. There's a separate store for the phone. There's been a separate store for PC. That's all been brought together now into one app store. So Windows 10 is big.
Yeah, it's going to be super popular. You guys can go and get hold of the preview, give it a try, go and test it out. Give us your feedback on it. That's the reason that the preview is out there.
So yeah, the preview's been out since, October 1st?
Yeah, it's been out there a few weeks.
So. Get it and download it. It really is nice. I think people will like it.
Yeah, and if you're looking for yet another route in order to be able to give us that feedback, comment below. It's always very useful. Yeah. And it gives us direct feedback on what you like and potentially areas for us to improve. So last week you were, this week, just yesterday, you were down at Gartner, down at in Florida at Symposium. We're going to get to exactly what you were doing down there in a couple of seconds. But before that, one of the things that folks always kind of ask me, they probably ask you as well, why is it that when we look out there and we look at the industry reports from Forrester, from Gartner, that we're not actually featured in there at the moment?
Yeah, I think your specific question is on these enterprise mobility waves, magic quadrants. Why is, you know, Intune and the Enterprise Mobility Suite today not listed?
Totally.
In those?
Yeah.
It's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. You know, as we think about our investments, you know, we try to make investments in a way that we plan for the long haul, we plan for the long term. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago, as we were really beginning to make our push and our investments into this enterprise mobility management, we had to make the decision, do we take System Center Configuration Manager and just go host that in the cloud? Mm-hmm. And that was an option.
Yeah.
Or do we start over, if you will, and build a cloud architecture-based application, if you will, a SaaS app, that is truly a cloud architecture that it would give us the kind of flexibility and agility that we'd want in the long term? Mm-hmm. And we made the decision to rebuild our enterprise mobility solution as a legitimate 100% cloud-based architecture. And so for us, it's been a journey. We made the decision that rather than just taking the existing product and go host it, which would limit our agility in the future, you know, mm-hmm. the way that System Center Configuration Manager is architected, it's architected to be, you know, all brought together in kind of a waterfall kind of a method for those of you who are developers. As you move into a cloud architecture, it's much more of an agile mm-hmm. methodology, and literally the architecture needs to lend itself to where any one of the teams that's working on it can update the overall solution independently of anybody else, and it can be updated multiple times a day. We could never do that with Config Manager.
And I think we're starting to see some of that come through already. Things like the extensions that you start to see in Config Man, where we were very quickly able to release zero-day support for iOS, mm-hmm. where we got the support in there for Windows 8.1 and for Enterprise Mode for Internet Explorer directly into the UI for people mm-hmm. to be able to use super quickly. Must have been a tough decision, though, to go that route.
You know, it was a hard decision, but you know, it's the decision that I'm confident will pay off in the long term, because we'll have the agility that customers are going to expect, where we can literally be updating every day. And one of the great things about a service is you get the telemetry back about how mm-hmm. people are using it, so we can literally see what's using or what's working, what's being used, what's not working. You know, you literally see when people are using the administrative console where they get caught up at, where they get stuck, and we can change things every day. That agility, as we look forward, is going to give us the ability to be able to add new value much faster than anybody else in the industry. Because others in the industry, what they've done is they've taken their on-premises product mm-hmm. and they're now hosting it as a service. But make no mistake, it's not a cloud architecture, and they will not be anywhere near as agile as we will be going forward.
Yeah.
And we're getting that feedback. I mean, people are coming back to us and saying, I can't believe how fast you're adding new capabilities into the service. And that is literally because of the architecture.
Yeah, I was actually doing a customer briefing the day after we'd recorded the endpoint zone last time. And I was literally able to go and show them connectivity with iOS 8 on a preview. Mm-hmm. And super quick. Yeah.
So let's get back to the original question about, you know, why we don't appear in these various reports right now. You know, we wanted to make sure that we made our investments for the long haul, not for the short term, you know, bang, if you will. So as we look at everything that's coming out over the next couple of months, and we've been pretty clear in our communication since May that things like containers and the Office applications being natively instrumented to be managed by, you know, Intune, all that is coming out through the rest of this calendar year. As all this new value comes out through the rest of this calendar year, you know, we're confident where we're going to appear in these reports at as we go forward. And we think that the architecture that we have in place right now will give us such an advantage that we'll show strong and we'll be strong from here on out just because, you know, we have the investment, we're making the appropriate level of investment, but we have the architecture that allows us to be agile.
So I guess the key message, why are we not in the in those quadrants? It's because we have strategic, long-term thinking, which we think is going to be a better way for our customers to partner with us.
Mm-hmm. And we'll definitely be in them the next time around.
Awesome. Excellent. So you were at Gartner Symposium last week.
Yesterday,
in fact. Yeah, I keep saying last week. It was yesterday.
Feels like last week, you know. Yeah. That flight from Orlando to Seattle is about as far as you can go in the U.S.
Yeah, I'm about to do a little bit of a further flight than that myself. But what were you down there for? What were you explaining?
Yeah, you know, Symposium is the single largest gathering of CIOs anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, Gartner was telling us they had 14,000 people at the event, 10,000 attendees, the majority of which are CIOs.
Yeah.
So for me, Symposium has always been an opportunity to meet with, at one time, at one place, the largest collection of CIOs, you know, anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. So I was down giving two sessions. I gave one session on enterprise mobility and management, and then gave one session on Windows 10 and our cloud platform. Both incredible turnouts. You know, there's 700 chairs in the room. It was packed. There was more than 100 people standing outside watching as well.
Oof.
You know, so in terms of the attendance, we were just incredibly enthused about it. But then Satya also yesterday participated in his first mastermind interview. Mm-hmm. And it was just wonderful to see Satya up there and let the world see more of Satya. You know, having worked for Satya for the last 3 years directly, you know, I know how personable he is, how caring, and how, you know, how competent of an individual he is. And I was just watching, as I was watching all the tweets going out yesterday as he was being interviewed, that was coming through as well. Everyone's like going, wow, what an amazing individual. You know, you can tell that he cares, he understands technology, he's both a business guy as well as a technologist and an engineer. And so it was great to actually be there and watch Satya be interviewed there.
Yeah, one of the things that I pulled out, I was reading an article today that that kind of had a great quote from Satya, and I can't remember the exact wording of the quote, but it was, so I'll paraphrase it a little, it was something along the lines of, mobility is not just about taking your device anywhere. Mobility is about being able to move between devices.
Yeah, his exact. I actually tweeted that comment out yesterday. He talked about, we need to talk about mobility in terms of human mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talk about mobility, it literally is about humans being able to work anywhere, on any device, anytime they want to, where so much of the conversation focuses on the device itself. You know, as we talk about mobility, we should focus the conversation on the human first and foremost.
Yeah, totally. It's absolutely the right way to go.
So it'd be one of those pieces where, you know, those of you who are watching this, if you're a CIO, I really encourage you to attend some of these Gartner Symposium events. I think they do a fantastic job on it. There's one in Barcelona here the second week of November that I'll be at, also presenting a couple of sessions at. It really is a great event.
Yeah, they do some really cool stuff. So just go to our insider section. I've got a question for you around, when do we use SCCM and when do we choose to use Intune?
Yeah.
What's the decision point there?
And I think the answer is yes. Because I think most organizations are going to end up using both of them for quite a while.
I think so, yeah.
You know, so let's give a couple of numbers here and a little bit of a basis. System Center Configuration Manager is the standard in the industry for managing PCs. And it manages, you know, well over 2 out of 3 PCs in the enterprise the enterprise around the world. And one of the remarkable things for me about Config Manager is, you know, every quarter as I take a look at the data that comes back in on it, you know, it actually increases its share by a full point of share every quarter.
Wow.
You know, and Lee, and the way
incredible.
Yeah, so it just continues to grow, it continues to grow, and continues to be more and more broadly used. And so, you know, one of my worldviews, you know, as I think about enterprise mobility and PC management, rich, sophisticated PC management, I believe, will remain an on-premises workload for a while yet into the future. And so when I say rich, you know, I'm talking about heavy software distribution, OS deployment, You know, there are organizations that use Config Manager in ways that just, you know, blow my mind. You know, distributing thousands and thousands of applications. And I think that kind of a workload will remain on premises with Config Manager. But I also have a worldview that enterprise mobility should be delivered as a cloud service. And actually, the data all bears this out.
Yeah, totally.
You know, not only is this, you know, where we're putting our efforts at, but if I take a look at where other MDM vendors are at, the majority of their sales are actually coming in their hosted services, which, again, to be clear, are not cloud services. Mm-hmm. They're hosting their on-premises product. But, you know, I believe that enterprise mobility should be delivered from a cloud service because it's that space moves so fast. Mm-hmm. It changes so rapidly. And you know, at Microsoft, we can update the service every day, multiple times a day. So as these changes are occurring, we can update the services, and everyone in the world can take advantage of that.
Because mobility is not just about updating the service because we want to. It's updating the service because Apple changed something, because there's something changed in Android, because XYZ.
Yeah.
You have to have that agility.
You know, those kind of loyal Config Manager administrators around the world, you know, so much of our release schedule used to revolve around the release of Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. And so we really only had to track releases of Windows, but now we're tracking releases of Windows and of iOS and of Android and, you know, the multiple flavors of Android.
Yeah.
And then we're constantly adding new value. So I think delivering that as a service is a really important strategic decision that I made, that I think, you know, as we continue to go through the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, I think people will understand deeply why we made that decision. But the reality is many will use them together. And so this integrated, what we call unified device management, or unified management, where, you know, you unify and connect Intune with Config Manager so that, you know, as we update the Intune capabilities, those automatically get reflected down in Config Manager. And Config Manager, you know, you can also do all of your administration for not only your PCs, but all your mobile devices. Mm-hmm. So you can use that console you're already familiar with, Config Manager, and then it'll sync all your policy up into the cloud to be distributed through Intune. And then as inventory and status comes back to Intune, that all circulates back down and is stored in the Config Manager database. So I think most organizations will use a combination of the two. Now, having said that, we've got almost 13,000 unique organizations today that are paying for and using Intune. If I go and add in all the organizations that are also using it in a trial method, it's close to 30,000 organizations that are using it right now. And, you know, and that 13,000 organizations that are using, you know, Intune, the majority of them are using it standalone today. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a number of them that are using this connected, you know, solution. But I think the key thing is you have choice. If you want to use Config Manager, you can use Config Manager and attach that to Intune to do all your management. If you want to go entirely to the cloud, you can do all that through Intune as well. Now, today, you know, in terms of our investments, we have a lot of our mobile device management investments going heavy into Intune mm-hmm. for that connected scenario.
Yep.
And, you know, all of the rich PC management capabilities will remain in Config Manager, and over time, we'll migrate those into Intune. But today, Intune, you know, manages PCs much like you would manage a mobile device. And so PC management in an MDM-like manner. And literally, there are, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of devices, PCs that are being managed in that manner today from Intune.
Yeah, and it's a super useful place because people do want to be able to go and buy an off-the-shelf device mm-hmm. and roll it and then be able to transform that into a task worker device, for example, or to be able to connect it seamlessly into the organization. So bringing your own device with Windows happens. It's a very important
place. And I posted a blog just a couple of weeks ago that gave a couple of examples of individuals using Intune. You know, one of those is a retail organization that has 15,000 branch mm-hmm. offices, and they actually manage the PC, that's the point of sale device at the front, all 15,000 devices from the cloud with Intune. I talked about Toyota of Europe, mm-hmm. you know, who's managing more than 3,000 PCs in their dealerships, which are actually, mm-hmm. you know, not owned by Toyota, all done from the cloud, no infrastructure. And then I talked about Mitchells and Butler. Mm-hmm. You know, Mitchells and Butler, a wonderful, you know, pub organization in the UK, you know, who had two individuals who were managing all the PCs using Config Manager mm-hmm. and extended that to Intune and added 15,000 devices, you know, the iPods that the waitstaff uses and then the Android devices that the front of the pub uses for the wait list, for example. Mm-hmm. Those 15,000 devices now are managed by Config Manager and Intune in a unified manner.
That must make those two IT guys feel like superheroes inside of that organization.
Yeah, and you know, the way I think about that is these two individuals' influence and impact on the company now has dramatically increased.
Yeah.
And so I think as we've thought about how we help, you know, the SCCM administrators enhance theirs and progress their careers, this Intune Config Manager integration is one of the ways to do it.
Okay, final question before we go to the interview. There's been some interesting movements inside of the rest of the industry over the course of the past couple of weeks about their ability for other MDM providers to integrate with ConfigMan.
Yeah.
Super interesting that they want to integrate with ConfigMan.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've certainly fielded a lot of emails and questions from a number of the other EMM vendors in the industry who all are saying, hey, you know, how do I integrate with Config Manager? So first of all, those are open APIs that anybody can integrate with. But I think the reality is, you know, I've always had a view that mobile device management and PC management need to converge. Mm-hmm. You know, organizations don't want two separate tools to manage those, and users don't want two separate interfaces. And so, you know, I've always believed that they would converge, and I think that Config Manager team is where that the majority of the conversion will occur at. So I think the Config Manager teams today who are managing, you know, thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of PCs will take on the responsibility to also manage the world's mobile devices inside the organization. So I think the other enterprise mobility management vendors are seeing that same trend, if you will, and are saying, hey, we should get integrated with Config Manager because that's where a lot of this consolidation is going to occur. Now, I've looked at what they've done, and it's super superficial. I don't know if that's the right way to say it.
Yeah.
The integration that we have done with Config Manager at Intune is deep.
Yeah.
You know, you can do all of your administration for your mobile devices from that Config Manager console, and it's connected in a very, very rich way. And it's just a much better solution.
Yeah, I've had a look at a good look around the solution, and it kind of feels a bit like you're viewing your inventory data through a spreadsheet.
Yeah, it's a read only kind of a solution. It looks like a little
it's a little bit painful. Whereas our solution is super rich. You can go in there and you can deploy policy out to your devices. You can go and remotely lock devices. You can remotely wipe them. You can do so much more than is just possible with other solutions. But hey, not everybody always wants to go entirely Microsoft. We can encourage you to do that, but we'll keep going on that. So we're going to go into our interview section, and we're going to go interview Ryan Fass. Okay, so we're joined now by Ryan Fass from SiteWorld. He's one of the writers over there, and we're going to kind of have a nice customer kind of chat, understand a little bit more about the industry from Ryan's point of view.
Yeah, it's actually great to be able to spend this time with Ryan. And I got to say, Ryan, the tables are a little bit turned here. You know, generally, you're interviewing me, and, you know, it's just, I got a chance to interview you.
It feels a little odd.
Yeah, she's on the other foot here. Well, you know, Ryan has a lot of riding in the area of enterprise mobility and enterprise mobility management. And, you know, Ryan, in your investigation, in your research, your interviews, what are, like, the key trends and the key things that you're seeing in this particular segment?
There are really two things that I think are happening. One is the fact that every, you know, organization you speak to is at a slightly different point in this journey. Like, nobody has it really fully figured out, but everyone is trying, and you have companies that were early adopters and they're still working their way through, but then you have some companies that just haven't even begun to start.
Yeah, and it's actually a really young market, isn't it?
It really is, and it's sometimes, you know, I'll talk to someone who's even particularly large companies that I would expect had been involved in mobility for, you know, the past few years, who are just getting started. And it reminds me that just how new this is and that each organization is going to go through their own process. The other trend that I've been seeing a lot is more about the user experience, particularly around BYOD, which is the trust and transparency sort of issue where users honestly don't understand what IT can and cannot see on their device, what they can and cannot do to it. And so that creates a level of discomfort and distrust. And I think that's pretty universal, although I've seen a couple of organizations that have really effectively said, you know, gotten out in front of the curve and said, this is what we can do, this is why we would do it, and this is explicitly what we cannot do or cannot see. And I think that's something that a lot of companies really should consider, you know, as they're rolling out and working through their mobility strategy.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The Ovum organization a couple of weeks ago published a survey where they had gone out and surveyed a bunch of end users in the enterprise and asked them what their largest concern was with respect to BYOD. And really, trust was the number one issue that came up. They said, we don't trust our own IT department to stay away from the personal things on our devices.
Yeah, and this is something that I've noticed from my career in IT. For a start, you have to build up trust with your users. But the really important thing about that is setting expectation.
Yeah.
Setting that expectation.
But great advice from Ryan there. I think IT needs to be transparent and publish what it is they're doing and what they're not doing.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that really with mobile is, you know, unique is that a user can, you know, have a phone with LTE, and if they want to use it for work and they're worried about that, they don't connect it to the network. They don't enroll it in any sort of EMM. And yet they're still using it. And IT really just doesn't have a way to even track that.
Yeah.
I think it gets really interesting when people just kind of organically enroll a device, and that tends to be because somebody has just handed out the details for the Wi-Fi password or just handed out the details for the Exchange mm-hmm. server. And it's just that organic thing that's kind of, it's just a part of the DNA of mobility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely agree.
So what kind of areas inside of mobility do you think are actually underserved at the moment by all of the various different offerings that are in the market?
I think one of the things is that there's a certain level of confusion. Because, I mean, the mobility space, you know, like a year or two ago, there were like 30, 40 companies operating. And a lot of that has consolidated now to the point where you've had companies merge, you've had the larger companies acquire smaller companies, and at the same time, you've gone from, you know, device management to app management to content management. And I was at a BlackBerry event earlier this year, and one of the slides said EMM can mean all of these 14 different things. And so I think there's a lot of confusion that people are getting in terms of what do I want to do? What do I need to do? Should I, I use VMware for all this other stuff. Does that mean I should go with AirWatch or should I look for something different? And so I think probably the biggest challenge is just cutting through that confusion.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, you know, you talk about customers coming from where they're starting at, or you know, having an understanding of where a customer starts from. You know, so many of the customers that I talk with are using Config Manager for their PCs, and
right.
I think ultimately everyone wants to have a unified way to manage all devices users work on, which mm-hmm. is PCs and tablets and phones. And I think
right.
that actually is one of the places I think there's been a lot of the market has just not been served completely yet because separate tools are being used to manage the different things.
Yeah,
I would definitely agree with that. And I think that's one of the challenges that as this market matures, you're really seeing because mobile has generally been handed off to like one guy or to a small team or to an outside consultant. And it's kind of remained like a little bit separate or a little bit of an outlier from the rest of the IT team. And, you know, at some point, this just has to merge together, you know, just for the purposes of working internally.
Yeah.
Because users don't necessarily see that. Users just think, okay, I'm using my phone and my PC, and that's it. And, you know, to them, it's just one workflow. So then they call the help desk, and the help desk is, okay, well, I can, you know, reset your password on your Exchange account or your Active Directory account, or I can fix this on your PC, but I can't necessarily do anything about your phone. I'm going to have to send that to the mobile guys. And I think for users, that's a very confusing thing to experience.
Yeah, it's almost like it's one of those solutions that's in the process of crossing the proverbial chasm.
Where, yeah, exactly.
Where it comes into mainstream, then it becomes, you know, a part of the broader, you know, IT policies. You know, one of the most interesting things that sparked in me when you said that is we recently just concluded some research where we went out and asked a bunch of organizations that have implemented an EMM solution, which team inside of the company owns the operations of it. And what we found is, you know, about 36-37% of the time it was actually the Config Manager team, mm-hmm. and about 32% of the time it was the Exchange mm-hmm. team. You know, so almost 70% of the time it was either the Config Manager or the Exchange mm-hmm. team that actually was responsible for it. And I actually believe those two teams is where this will consolidate over time will be there.
Oh no, I agree with that. I think it's gonna be the interesting process of how it gets there.
Yeah, so in terms of how it gets there, what do you see over the next little while? You know, what's going to be the key interesting trends or the things to watch and track, you know, in the industry?
I think from the IT perspective, I think it's really just going to be, you know, sort of hashing out what are the job roles going to be when mobile devices represent, you know, more endpoints than PCs
yep.
or
mm-hmm.
servers or, you know, whatever, more traditional technology. And I think I think in a lot of organizations, there's going to be some turf war. And I think part of the problem is there's no industry consensus around that yet. If you look at, you know, deployment or system management or stuff like that, I mean, that's been sort of decided to some extent, you know, industry-wide for, you know, at least a decade or more. And I don't really feel that, you know, there's anywhere near that level of consensus about who should be in charge, who should be responsible. Who should have access to management of this data?
I think a lot of that comes from the fact that the industry is so new.
Yeah.
Going back to what we said earlier,
yeah.
and it's just this, yeah. and the organic nature of it. It's just growing up and becoming a more fully fledged enterprise level device now.
Yeah, I agree. Hey,
Oh,
go ahead.
No, that's one of the other trends that I really over the past couple of years, the trend towards larger phones and towards mm-hmm. phablets, I think, has actually altered the way people were going to think mobile might play out. Because, you know, a couple of years ago, everyone was like, oh, people have a tablet instead of a PC, but they'll also have a phone. And now you have these phones that sort of bridge that divide, yeah, where you can actually do serious work on them.
Yeah, you know, I've got to where I have my Surface, and I have my Nokia 1520. You know, part of that 1520 is I'm getting old, I have to wear reading glasses now. And so on that screen, I can see everything. But that's all I carry, it's just those two devices now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, I mean, that's to the point where that's all you need. And I think it's, you know, I mean, I won't say I've written, you know, an article on a phone or a phablet, other than for the sake of having done it. But I can certainly edit stuff pretty easily on that,
yeah,
more
I
than
can
I could,
too.
Like, say, on a 3.5 inch or a 4 inch phone.
Yep.
Hey, so I think that's changing the dynamic a little bit.
No, I agree. Hey, one final question. Enterprise mobility management, industry-wide impact? Are there specific industries that are going to be more, you know, enthused or more impactful for it?
I think actually probably the industries that I would say, the industry I would say the most will be impactful is healthcare. Because, I mean, mobile has just tremendous opportunities there. There was a recent story in the Mirror UK about two hospitals that in 2010 implemented a system where nurses were using mobile devices to record vital signs of recovering patients. And because they were doing that, and because it got into a clinical support system, between the two hospitals over a year, they saved about 800 people from dying.
Oh, wow.
That they necessarily wouldn't have based on previous trends. So I think that really speaks to the power of mobile and healthcare. I think the other fields, I would say, field service, retail, sort of any place where somebody needs to be mobile or where somebody has to interact directly with customers outside of a traditional office or retail setting.
Yeah, we're certainly seeing that. You know, as I look at the largest customers that are currently using Intune, they're all retail. They're all retail. They're food. I mean, it really is interesting. So,
well, you created a great blog post recently about mobile task workers.
Yep.
And that's essentially that's a big part of the market. The mobile task worker market is really blowing up.
Well, you know, Ryan, we've really appreciated you spending a few minutes here with us, and how to look forward to the next time I get a chance to interview you. I'm sure there'll probably be multiple interviews the other way around, but you know, before that happens again.
Well, you know, thank you for having me. It was a great experience.
Okay, so looking forward to the next few weeks in the world. What kind of things coming up?
Yeah, a couple of big things I think I'd kind of point out. First of all, yesterday Satya pointed out in his symposium interview that, you know, kind of an enterprise set of, you know, things be talked about on October 20th. I tweeted about that yesterday, encouraged people to tune in and watch what's going to happen there. But I think over the next several weeks, probably the biggest thing that's going to be out there is Tech Ed Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tech Ed Europe starts on Monday, October 28th. This might be the first time in, I think, 6 years I haven't given the keynote there. But looking at the keynote as it's being constructed, it's amazing how much is going to be discussed there, how much new innovation. And that'll certainly be a moment where we talk a lot about some of the things we're doing from an enterprise mobility management.
Yeah, I'm psyched about Tech Ed. I've got my first three ever Tech Ed ILLs, and we're going to deliver the first ever Tech Ed ILL where we connect ConfigMan up to Windows Intune as part of that lab. So super psyched for
those
that.
Those labs are always one of the most well-loved components of our events.
Yeah, hopefully my scores are gonna come back and show us that
shoes there for you to kind of, you know, fill in there.
Yeah, I think there's a very specific person that we're thinking about there.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. But thank you guys for watching this episode of the Endpoint Zone. Brad, thank you very much for coming in.
Great to be here, number two.
Studios and joining us. We'll get another one of these out very soon, but please share this with your friends. Let us know what you think about the show. Give us your comments wherever you see this on a blog, and we'll catch you next time. Mm-hmm.